Those are pretty powerful videos. It's interesting when we hear this story from different perspectives, kind of our modern way of looking at things. I think those are pretty powerful. For me, the testimony there is from Barabbas, and it's actually what I've based my talk on today, is it should have been me. That's a huge statement by Barabbas. It should have been him. He's the one that should have been there. That should have been me. Same as Barabbas. That should have been me, that Jesus paid for my sin, that he went to the cross on my behalf, that he took the punishment and the wrath of God for me. And so what I want to do here this morning is I'm going to read through the story, starting from delivered to Pilate, and reading in Matthew 27. You can follow along your Bibles. You can also look at me. Here we go. We're going to read the 6 verses. So this is a test. This is my reading test for whatever. All right, so let's read. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the council against Jesus, and they led him away and delivered him over to Pilate the governor. And Judas, his betrayer, saw Jesus was condemned. He changed pieces of chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." They said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." And throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the piece of silver, said, "It is money." Council and bought with them the potter as a burgers. Therefore, that field been called the field of day. And was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "And they took 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom the price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave their field as the Lord directed me." Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave no answer, not even charge, so that the governor was... Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release... for the crowd, any one prisoner whom they want. Then a notorious prisoner, Barabbas. So when they had gathered, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ?" For he knew that it was of envy that they had delivered him up. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do?" "Jesus called the Christ." They said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourself." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having urged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then when the soldiers of the governor took Jesus, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him, and scarlet robe on him, and turned, they put it on his head, and put a reed in his hand, and kneeled for him, mocked him, saying, "King of the Jews," and on him, and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. As they went out of Cyrene, some name, they compelled this man to carry the cross. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But he tasted it. When he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified his garments among them by casting lots, and they kept watch over him, and over his head put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, saying, "Destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and mocked him, saying, "He saved us. he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires. For he said, I am the Son. And the robbers with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour, so the sixth hour would be about noon, there was over the land until the ninth hour. The ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Bystanders hearing it said, this man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sap, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. He said, wait, let's see whether Elijah will come and save him. And Jesus cried out again and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, split. The tombs were also opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurions who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe. Truly, this was the Son of God. There were also many women there, looking on from a distance, who had Jesus from Galilee ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked the body of Pilate, ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen, in a clean linen shroud, and laid it on his own tomb, which he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered. Sir, we remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore, order until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people, he is risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse first. Pilate said to them, you have a guard of soldiers. Make it as secure as you can. They went by sealing the stone and setting a guard. So where I'd like to go with this is really to answer one question. How do you respond to a story like that? How do you respond to that? You know, we've heard testimony from different perspectives on videos, but I want to give testimony or a perspective of a Christian from 2,000 years past. What is my response to this story? Well, I think my overall response is that it should have been me. When I read this story and I see what happened to Jesus, I think, that should have been me. I'm the one who deserves to pay for my sin, not Jesus. And so there's thinking, it should have been me. And three emotional responses to this story. The first one is, I think closeness means it's hard to imagine him having to be went through. I don't know if you've ever read one of the Gospels. I would encourage you to do that. But one of the most moving moments of when I was reading the Bible is when I was reading the Gospels. I read through them, and man, you're reading the story and suddenly get to this moment, and it tugs your heart. Because when you're a Christian, this isn't just some dude who lived 1,000 years ago. He's not just a historical figure. Jesus is my friend. Jesus is someone I love. Jesus is alive today, which we're going to sell a few days. It wasn't the end, which is what we can call it good. If he didn't rise from the dead, it would be bad Friday. But he did. And so we know the ending, yet still sadness in my heart. See, to read the story and to Jesus went through that, all that stuff. He didn't deserve that. He didn't deserve to die like that, to be beaten. I mean, as we read the story, I couldn't help but think, if that's me, I'm going like, when the chief priests are making fun of me, I'm like, all right, I'll come off the cross. Like, it's just like, how did he do it? His humility must have been incredible. Pain, all of this ridicule. He knew his mission. He knew what he needed to do. And he didn't have it. But he loved me so much. He loved us so much. that he went to the cross willingly. It's not him. I think the second response is gladness. Now, this is odd to feel these two things at one time, right? Sadness and gladness. Difficult, but possible. I'm feeling it right now, actually, so I know it's possible. I guess the best way to look at it is I miss lots of sporting events. I like sporting events, but I miss lots of, mostly because of youth ministry stuff. So I PVR everything. One of the things that kills me is when I find out the score before I've watched it. So I've PVR'd it, it's at my house, and I'm like, I'm all ready. Goes, hey, did you see this game? I'm like, no! Ruined. But in some ways, this is kind of like the story we're reading today. We know him. So sadness isn't our chief emotion. We know what we know. We know the end. And so the game has changed when you sit down and you know the end score. So when we sit down and we celebrate Jesus and we think of that he walked and the pain and the suffering brings sadness, at the same time we have gladness because we know how it ends. Jesus wins. The payment for sin has been this one. The Jews had a sacrificial system where they'd have to offer over and over. And with the coming of Jesus, done. One and done. One sacrifice for sin. God's love, we can be glad because God's love is displayed for all to see. There is no greater love than for someone to give up himself for another. There is no great expression of love. And when we out God's love, the cross is the one thing we can look at and go like, no, I don't need to doubt God's love. This he did for me. This expression of love is greater than anything else. He died for my sin. He took my sin on himself. It's reason for gladness. The Creator has been restored. I can come into the very presence of God boldly because of what Jesus done. I have been set free from the power of sin and death. I don't have death. I'm not a slave anymore. It isn't my master. My desires and sinful nature, it doesn't control me anymore. It's Jesus does. It should have been me, but it wasn't. God loved me so much that he took my place. That's why I'm glad. The third expression of thankfulness. He took my punishment for me. Now, we're going to do communion in a few minutes. And I can't help but think that these emotions need to be present. I don't know if thankfulness is, I guess that's a response to the emotion, maybe. but these, oh, no, I don't know what to call them, responses. Be present as we take communion together. Remembering the life, resurrection of Christ. He took my punishment for me. Deserve God's wrath in. But Jesus absorbed the full wrath of God on my behalf and on your behalf. He took the whole God's wrath against sin was poured to Jesus. I can't imagine the significance and the magnitude of that. It's unbelievable. I'm so thankful. I've been rescued and I find myself full of love and hope because of Jesus. He gives me hope. He is he's the light of the world. The light that shines within me is Jesus. He gives me hope on a daily basis. I'm so thankful to God and what he's doing today. See, it didn't stop. The work of salvation finished. But Jesus is still working in us, sanctifying us, making us more like Jesus. He continues to work. I'm so thankful for that. It should have been me. But man, am I ever thankful that Jesus did it for me. I want to ask the elders how we're going to, and you guys can come up. We're gonna have communion together, the Lord's Supper, celebrate it. And as we celebrate this morning, the Lord's Supper, we're going to have a little time of response. When we're passing around the bread, we're going to have an instal. And use that opportunity just to reflect a little bit on some of the emotions that this story brings up in your. How do you respond to what it did for you, to what it done for us? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your son. Thank you for giving your son to us. Thank you that Good Friday is the end of it. It's just the beginning of something amazing that's about to happen. That today is Friday, but Sunday is right around the corner. Lord, thank you that you saw a man to take place, to have a sacrifice once and for all for the sin, all the sins of the world, for all those who would put the trust in you, that you have cleansed us, that you have given us newness of life, given us hope here, that you have infused us with love for you and for others. Thank you for everything that this means. Thank you, Lord, that you recorded it for us, that we can have a day like today to look back, remember, and celebrate you. Thank you, Jesus.